Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Last week we left off with Joseph. All right, somebody say Joseph. Joseph was the man that had that coat with many colors, right? But we know that many colors coat was torn from him. They made it look like he died. His brothers sold him into slavery. And last week we were where he was a slave, but God was with him. Come on, somebody say God was with him. And I said that it doesn't matter where you are, what your circumstances look like, God will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Is that the word? If that's the word, say amen. Joseph was a slave, but I believe that sometimes we have to get to that place. And I'm not telling us all that we need to become slaves, but that was the bottom of the bottom for Joseph, right? Joseph was a leader in his household, but he was the youngest child, right? He was already leading his brothers. He didn't have to do all the work. So for him to become a slave, that was his low point. And sometimes that low point makes us look up to God, right? We've all been to a low point in our life where we thought, I don't know how I got here, but God, I'm ready for you to use me. Okay, God, I tried it my own way. I messed up. Let me get help. So Joseph was there, right? Joseph was sold as a slave to Potiphar, and I'm doing a quick recap. Sold as a slave to Potiphar, and Potiphar, he worked for some years. We don't know how long he worked, but Potiphar saw that he was blessed, and he actually said, God is with you. While you're a slave, God is with you, and God is blessing you, right? So what did Potiphar do? He did what every smart person should do. If you know somebody is a blessing to your company, upgrade them. Right? Be a blessing to them. So he upgraded Joseph. Joseph ran everything. Potiphar didn't know what he had unless Joseph told him. Right? But guess what? What do you think that did for Joseph? Do you think Joseph was excited about that? Yeah, I'm a slave, but now I'm the top guy. He went from the bottom to management. But guess what? The enemy always wanted to stick his head in. Right? Potiphar's wife was like, oh, yeah, you are the top man. Come see me. I could be your whatever. We can make it happen. And he said no, because he didn't want to offend his God. He didn't want to do things that were not what God wanted him to do. This is powerful because of this, because of his sacrifice unto God, because you got to believe, people think Potiphar's wife was probably ugly. I'm pretty sure she wasn't, right? She was pulling all the stops, had all the outfits. Every time he turned around, I'm pretty sure he was like, God, help me get this lady out of my head, right? So as he was sacrificing himself to God to please God, because of that sacrifice, it cost him something, right? It cost him his position, the place that he thought he was supposed to be, right? Because you got to remember, if you go back all the way, if we rewind all the way back, Joseph was having dreams that he was going to be a leader. Now Joseph is in that leadership position. But compromise, this is powerful because some of us have the option to compromise, right? And sometimes compromise will leave us in that position that we always wanted to get. But he decided to not compromise and stay true to God. But it cost him. Now he was placed in prison, right? In prison, he's a good prisoner. I don't know how. He's a good prisoner. Matter of fact, he's so great, he runs the prison while he's in prison, okay? Then Pharaoh sends some of his bakers and I don't know what you call the other guy, that cupbearer. And they have a dream. And this is an important part in Joseph's life. Before, Joseph tried to interpret his own dreams, right? He was telling his dad, look, I had a dream and you guys were all bowing down to me. You know, what does that mean? He was even asking them, right? But now he got to the point, even before he interpreted, he says, is it not God that interprets dreams? Right? So this is what I was talking about earlier with this. We have been given gifts from God, but sometimes it takes us time to realize what they are and how to operate in them. Amen? And this was the point where he realized, because he didn't say, I can do this. I can interpret the dream. Even if you look at the story of Daniel, when the king said, I had a dream, Daniel says, isn't it God? He says the exact same thing. God can interpret this dream. I don't even need you to tell me. I'm going to go pray because God knows all. Amen? So while he's here, he's able to interpret the dreams. And what he interprets happens. One of them gets killed 3 days later. The other one gets restored back to his job. The one that got restored back to his job, he said, don't forget about me. But guess what happens? When people don't need you anymore, they forget about you. Right? You ever did something praying for people, you help somebody out, and you don't hear from them for years until what? Something else. Oh, I need your help. What do you mean you need my help? It's been 3 years. I ain't talked to you in 3 years. But that's what happens. So sometimes we shouldn't even look to these people. We just look to God. Joseph did what he was called to do. All right? The thing that he was supposed to do, interpret this brother's dream and tell him what God was clarifying and telling him what would happen. This was the very thing that God would use, even though it took time. Amen? Let's get to chapter 41, Genesis chapter 41. It says, this is how long it took. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So who is this 2 full years for? Joseph. Right? That Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river. Suddenly there came up of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time, and suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on one stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. So Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. Somebody say the spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was no one who can interpret them for Pharaoh. Okay? So this is important too, because a lot of times people have to be troubled before they try God. I don't know why, right? Sometimes when things are cruel or smooth sailing, they want to do what they want to do. But let trouble come in their life. Trouble is a perfect opportunity for God to touch somebody. We have to look at it like that, right? When somebody is in trouble, what they begin to do is they try to pull all of their resources. So Pharaoh does the same thing. Get the wise men. Get the magicians. Get everybody, whoever is somebody in the kingdom, bring them here, because I need what? Help. I need help. When your spirit is troubled, you are in need of help. Let's see this, what it says in verse 9. Then, somebody say then. Oh, man. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my faults this day. What is he saying? My bad, Pharaoh. I know somebody that can help you out. I mean, I was supposed to help him out, but I forgot. Right? He says, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants, and he probably said, don't get mad right now. Chill a little bit. And he put me, and he's probably saying this very nicely because he don't want to go back, right? When you put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night, he and I. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now, there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged him. All right? Now, this is powerful. These people, even that we have poured into and that God has done something in their life, they don't forget when God does something in their life. Right? Even though we think, oh, they forgot about us, they won't forget about the power of God. Amen? Because when God alters or changes something in their life, they're, oh, man, I remember when I was tore up from the floor up and God came and delivered me. Amen? So this is what I want to say to us that pour into somebody. This is still understanding God's plan. You're not going to get credit from man. Right? We should not expect credit from man. They probably got bad credit. No, but we don't expect credit from man. You will not get your praise for doing God's work from man. And if you are getting that from man, you're probably doing the wrong thing. Right? That doesn't mean that people don't say, man, when somebody wants to praise you, our job is to reflect that praise back to God. Amen? The problem with people who do great things, they begin to receive the praise. Then their agenda begins to change because they're like, how can I get more praise? It feels good to me, right? When I'm getting praise, it feels good. If I tell you, oh, man, you look good everywhere you go, I wish I could be just like you. You know what happens? Your head gets puffed up. But it's our job to deflect praise. When I do music and people are like, man, that's awesome. Praise God, man. Well, what they say is, you were dope, man. That was awesome. And what I say is, man, all glory to God. Whatever they say, I say, if they say that was dope, I say God is dope. If they say that was awesome, God is awesome. Why do I do that? To keep myself from getting proud. In understanding God's plan, we have to do that. Right? So it's important that we see this. Then Pharaoh, verse 14, sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. All right? And they didn't just bring him out of the dungeon. He's going in front of the king, so it says, and he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. I'm pretty sure he took a shower or whatever they had. They had to get due right. Right? Because he was stinking. Okay? And Pharaoh, and that just shows a little bit more of what Joseph went through. We don't think about that. I guarantee they didn't have showers in those prisons. But he'd been in there for 2 years. Good Lord. Whew. And they called it a dungeon. They didn't call it a prison cell. It wasn't, they didn't have what they have today. Right? It was a dungeon. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream and there is no one that can interpret it, but I have heard it said of you. Look at where is he trying to give the praise? To Joseph. Why? Because that's what man does. If they don't know who God is, they go, oh, it's you, G. Hey, I heard that you could do. But let's keep on going. He says, I've heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Okay. Why does he do this? Because Joseph learned. We got to remember back in the day when Joseph was with his brothers, he was like, it's all about me. I am the guy. You guys are going to bow down to me. Just imagine if your little brother came and said, you're going to bow down to me one day. And meant it. Like you, look, dude, you're doing that right now, but you're going to come back. You know how brothers are. Oh, okay. Okay. You did that. Okay. Benjamin wasn't born, but Reuben, I got you. You acting like that right now? You're going to bow down to me one day. Just imagine Joseph saying that, right? The proudness that came from that, the pride. But God took the pride. This is the plan of God. Understanding God's plan, Joseph started with pride, but God had to rip it from him. God had to allow him. Look, okay, you're here. But let me show you that I am God. I am the one that's working in your life. Amen. So we see Joseph is understanding this right here. It says, verse 17, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank. He tells him the dream. We're going to skip to verse 25. Because he said the same thing he said earlier. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams are one. And the seven thin and ugly cows which came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty heads blighted by the east wind are 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great and plenty, will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and a famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine for it will be very severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because this thing is established by God. And God will surely bring it to pass. Now, that's interesting how he says it was given twice because it was established by God. That's something that God must constantly do, right? We can look at this and say, okay, it was given to him twice because God establishes things twice. What does that mean? God confirms his word, right? And he still does that today. Have you ever went somewhere, God gave you a verse in your spirit or you read it, and then you get somewhere else and somebody says that same thing? And it's like, man, I just read that. Why? Because God's trying to confirm something in you. He's trying to tell you something through his word. That's why the Bible says his word is living and active. Amen. Verse 33 says, now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land to collect 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. Then that food shall be as a reserve for the land for 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. All right. So Joseph already got a plan. Why? Because God gave him this plan. Right? And Joseph didn't even say, let me be. Hey, look, Joseph or Pharaoh, I got a plan. Right? He could have been feeling good about himself at this moment, but he continued to say, God is trying to show you how to survive. God is going to give you this plan. But look what happened. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the spirit of God? Right? That's powerful. Does the world say that the spirit of God is in us? Right? And we don't always have to do something spectacular so people see the spirit of God, but they should know, they know what the spirit of God is. Amen. One of the greatest things, we're constantly praying for this gym that we go to. I went to the other gym on Wednesday and I was like, it's a totally different atmosphere. Right. But one thing we pray is that God's spirit would dwell there. And this one guy, he keeps telling me every week, every time he sees me, he's like, man, God is in this gym. I feel his presence. Right. Why is God's presence there? Because he lives in us. And we're there to make a difference. We say hi to whoever we can say hi to. We say, God bless you. If you need help, if you're struggling, if you can't get that weight off, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Right? So we help him a little bit. Amen? But then it says in verse 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all of this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. This is what Pharaoh tells Joseph. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried out before him, bow the knee. So he set him over the land of Egypt. Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. And he gave him as a wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, in the seven plentiful years, the ground brought forth abundantly. So he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt and laid up the food in the cities. He laid up in every city the food of the fields which surrounded them. Joseph gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting, for it was immeasurable. Man, imagine that. I got so much I can't even count it anymore. We started counting the grams. We started counting the ounces. But now it's just too much. And to Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore to him. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. All right, now who's Manasseh? Anybody know? Somehow he's related to Moses, right? We'll see later. For God has made me forget all my toil and all the father's house. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. All right. Now, I like how he named his kids, because in these moments, he's praising God. Remember how the praise of God should always be in our lips? Joseph praised God, and the powerful thing about naming your kids something that praises God, you're always calling that name, right? How many times? Manasseh, come over here. Ephraim, for God has called me. He's constantly praising God. That's why it's important to name your kids something that's good. Amen? It says, then the 7 years of plenty, which were in the land of Egypt, ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. The famine was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. So when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. Then Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. Whatever he says to you, do. The famine was over all of the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all countries, somebody say all countries. So what does this say right here? Joseph is leading all countries, right? All countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because there was famine. The famine was severe in all the lands. What does this show you? That even though it took time, this is one of those aha moments that Joseph had, right? Because you look at even this one of the dreams where even all the sun and the moon and the stars came and bowed down to him, right? This man went from, again, the pit or the dungeon, as we want to call it, to ruling the world. Right? Now some people are like, oh, that's just a story. This really happened. Right? He went from the bottom to the top in a matter of a couple minutes after he got out of prison. Right? But it took time. He was 30 years old when this happened. He was 37 when he was leading all these people, because 7 years plus 30 equals 37. So what we see is God is beginning to, why does God do this in Joseph's life? Because Joseph pointed everything back to God, right? If we don't get anything from this sermon in understanding God's plan, his plan for you is to never praise yourself, but praise him. Never to say, God, look what I did. Because we know even in Babylon, that's what the king Nebuchadnezzar did. I did all this. This was me sticking out his chest. Do you see what kind of kingdom I built? What happened? Right after that, he lost his mind. Right, and it's crazy when people think they're at the top and they bigging up themselves like, I'm the man. They lose their mind. Why? Because God wants to show them that he is God. The same thing happened to the devil. It's no different. The devil's like, do you hear this worship I'm making unto God? Man, that's sounding good. For those that don't know, the devil used to lead worship in heaven. But he got proud. He started saying, look what I'm doing. You see, hey, look. He probably got with the angels. You see this? Look, watch this. And it's just dope. Right? And he's like, oh. All right. Right? Why? He began to get proud. And the Bible says pride leads to a fall. And he fell with a thunderous fall, they say. Got the lightning boot out. Lost his position in the kingdom of God. And can never gain it again. There is no repentance for the devil. Why? We don't know. I would say because he saw God. Once you saw God, there's not a... He was in the presence of God. It was the ultimate blasphemous thing to do to try to praise himself. That's crazy, but that's what it is. He didn't create nothing. He didn't do anything. God created him. And just like God created angels, God created us. And just like the song said, we are to worship God. Angels and saints will sing glory to his name. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me read through this chapter and then we'll be done for the day. The brothers is coming. Somebody say the brothers is coming. Now when the famine was severe in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the grain which they had brought from Egypt, that their father said to them, go back. So they had already been. Somebody went already. It doesn't tell us about that story. But one of them already went to Egypt. Didn't even know it was their brother they were buying something from. Right? It's powerful. We don't see that unless we just pay attention to the scripture. That's my first time ever catching that. She said, go back, buy us a little food. But Judah spoke to him saying, the man solemnly warned us saying, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. So who knew that it was his brother? Joseph. Already, right? He says, if you send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, you shall not see my face unless your brother is with you. All right. And Israel said, why did you deal so wrongfully with me as to tell the man whether you had still another brother? But they said, the man asked us. I'm sorry, I skipped the chapter. So the first, let's go to chapter 42. I'm sorry. Oh man, here it goes. Verse 1. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? And he said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there that we may live and not die. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them. Now that's so interesting, but how many of us know if we haven't seen somebody for 20 plus years, he still remembers what his brothers look like, right? He recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. Now, In this moment that Joseph remembers the dream, is he remember? This is funny right here, because does he remember the dream that they tried to kill? Right? Because remember, when they were going to kill him, they said, let's kill him so we can see what's going to happen to his dream. Right? Does he remember that these are the ones that tried to stop my dream? Or is he remembering the dreams that his brothers came to bow down? We don't know. Right? We don't know if Joseph is trying to get back at his brothers. Right there, he starts speaking harshly. Is he upset? Would you be upset? I'd be upset. We'd be upset. But we see that God still uses this, right? If you let God use you, even when you're upset, not to act out in upsetness, if that's a word, in your anger, okay? And they said to him, no, my Lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all of one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. But he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. Right? So what are they? Joseph's gone. Maybe dead. We don't know. Right? But Joseph said to them, it is, and that probably hurt him there too. They said, one is no more, right? Just think about that. They're talking about you. There's one with our brother and he's gone. We don't know. He's no more, right? But again, Joseph said to them, it is as I spoke to you, saying you are spies. In this manner, you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother. And you shall be kept in prison that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put them all in prison. How many days? 3 days. Now, maybe that was a day for each year that Joseph was in. We don't know. But Joseph is giving them a little bit of what he went through. Imagine those brothers. 3 days. They don't know they're about to get out of 3 days. They're like, man, what in the world? This guy is tripping. And they didn't call him Joseph because, remember, his name got changed, right? It says, then Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. All right? If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me so the words will be verified and you shall not die. And they did so. Then they said to one another, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us and he would not hear. Therefore, the distress has come upon us. So these cats are stressing, right? Because all we want is to buy some food. Everybody else is coming to buy food. Why this guy putting us through the ropes, right? And it says, and Reuben answered and said, did I not speak to you saying, do not sin against the boy? And you would not listen. Therefore, behold, his blood is now required of his hands. What does this show me? It shows me that they have not gotten over the guilt of what they done to Joseph. All right? Now, this is powerful because we always look at Joseph's side. But what about these brothers that have been trying to keep from their dad that they sold them as slaves for 17, 20 plus years at this moment? Right? That guilt is eating them up. And Reuben is like, I think it's now that it's fallen on us. We done messed up. Right? And it's not like they didn't know they messed up. But he's like, now we have this bad situation, and it's because of the guilt that we have. This is why it's important that people forgive. Amen? I was talking to somebody this week about forgiveness. Sometimes forgiveness is not even for you. Many times it is for you to get rid of what somebody has done to you. However you can forgive them. I'm not telling you got to be huggy-dubby and be best friends with them again. Sometimes that doesn't work. But forgive them and move on. But guess what? Forgiving them will release them from the guilt that they have. Amen? But they still have guilt here. Verse 23 says, but they did not know that Joseph understood them, for he spoke to them through an interpreter, and he turned himself away from them and wept. Wow, I think Joseph's heart got touched here. Right? Then he returned to them again and talked with them, and he took Simeon from them and bound him before their eyes. I think Joseph's heart got touched because when they said that, they realized that they were wrong. He heard that. That's funny that Joseph was speaking through an interpreter. Ain't that funny? Joseph knows their language. And, you know, this smart people always do that, right? They start speaking in another language and then they, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. Right? So that's what Joseph does. Let's finish this chapter. Then Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with grain, to restore every man's money to his sack, and to give the provisions for the journey. Thus he did for them. So he loaded their donkeys with grain and departed from there. But as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey feed at the encampment, he saw his money. And there it was in the mouth of his sack. So he said to his brothers, my money has been restored, and there it is in my sack. Then their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying to one another, what is this that God has done to us? Now, what? That's a blessing, first of all, right? If you go into the grocery store, your card gets charged, because now we aren't always carrying money. Your card gets charged. You get your groceries, and they reimburse your money. You would be like, praise God, right? $200 in groceries, and I get it back. Thank you, Jesus. But they look at it like, what is going on? We're in trouble. Why? Because they still have guilt. And this is what guilt does to you. Guilt makes you look at everything in the wrong light. Now they're feeling guilty, like they're going to think we stole this stuff. Right? They paid them the money, but how did it get back in there? We don't know, but they're in fear because they still have guilt on their hands. They still have blood on their hands. Amen? Then they went to Jacob, their father, in the land of Canaan and told him all that had happened to them, saying, the man who was lord of the land spoke roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. But we said to him, we are honest men. We are not spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of a father. One is no more, and the youngest is with our father this day in the land of Canaan. Then the man, the lord of the country, said to us, by this I will know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers here for me. Take food for the famine of your household and be gone. And bring your youngest brother to me, so I shall know that you are not spies, but that you are honest men. I will grant your brother to you, and you may trade in the land. Then it happened as they emptied their sacks that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, what were they? Were they excited? They were afraid. Why? Because guilt is still holding them. Right? They don't realize that Joseph blessed them. They got all the grain for free. Right? They don't realize it. It says, and Jacob, their father, said to them, you have bereaved me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. And you want to tank Benjamin? All these things are against me. Then Reuben spoke to his father, saying, kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you. But he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If any calamity shall befall him along the way in which you go, then you would bring down my gray hair with sorrow to the grave. All right? And we're going to stop there for today. But what we see is Jacob, or even Israel, as he's called in some chapters, Jacob has not recovered from Joseph's death. Or Joseph's, he believed Joseph died, right? He hasn't recovered. His son, through the same wife, which was Benjamin, he protects him, right? He's probably was getting the same treatment as Joseph, but he wouldn't let him leave because of fear. I believe that he's upset with those other brothers. How are you going to let this happen to your other brother? And there ain't no way I'm about to give you the youngest. But this is what happens. By guilt, by lies, and by betrayal. They've built up a family of betrayal. 20 years, 20 plus years, they're constantly trying to cover themselves up, right? Just imagine somebody, oh, hey, you know, Joseph, oh, shut up, bro. What are you talking about? He's dead, right? They're trying to cover this up for 20 years and it eats them alive. And I'm pretty sure the relationship that they had with their father suffered because of this, because they're no longer honest with their dad, right? And we can tell what's honesty and what's dishonesty. But I'm just saying this, as we look here, we're going to constantly see the plan that God had for Joseph. The plan that God had for Joseph is powerful because it was promised that, as we were reading Abraham's story last series, that they would go into this land of Egypt, right? You guys remember that? He said they would go into the land of Egypt, but they will be captives there in that land. They will lead, but they will be captives there in that land. So God is preparing them for his plan. Even though they don't understand it, this is how God prepared it, through the betrayal of Joseph's brothers. Amen? And it's the same thing that happened with Jesus. Jesus was betrayed by Judas to set up him being sent to the cross for God's plan to be unraveled. Amen? His plan to be revealed, that if we believe in him, he died, lived a perfect life, but they had to find some kind of fake fault on him so they could do that. They were all just mad at him. They were trying to kill Jesus' dream the same way they were trying to kill Joseph's dream. Oh, you talking about the kingdom? That was the dream Jesus had. The kingdom is at hand. They kept hearing the kingdom. Man, we run this. What are you talking about? The kingdom, but they tried to kill that, but they couldn't, because God's plan was that he would die for man. Amen. And redeem us. That brings forth the kingdom of God. Amen. So we look at what happened to Jesus, to Joseph. Even through betrayal, God used this. And what am I telling us? Even if people betray us, even if people are trying to make you look like you are not somebody, if you continue to walk in God, his plan is going to be revealed in your life. And there's nothing they can do to stop it. Amen? Heavenly Father, let us stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear God, for this time. We pray, dear God, that as we heard the story of Joseph today, God, that you would continue to reveal to us your plan in our life, oh God, your plan for our individual lives, for our families, oh God, for our ministries, oh God. We pray to God that we walk forth what you've called us to do, God, that we are quick to give you glory and praise in our life and deflect it from being given to us, oh God. I just pray to God that you watch over us as we go from this place, but always keep us in your presence. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.